Tonight, James gets the sand out of his long pig vagina. Mike starts crowing and pisses off the masses. And we shoot zombies into the sun.
Winchester from Thrallpunk.com.
And this is Couch Potato Sam. How are you doing today?
Wonderful. It is kind of echoey in here.
Is it? It is.
Yeah, that's we don't have the window open and we don't have a fan going.
Because it's cold.
It's wow, you said it was cold.
It is cold.
That's amazing.
It's like sitting in an icebox in here.
Oh, you like it that much, huh?
Well, a little bit, yeah. Drink your coffee.
Coffee cocoa. How the fuck are you?
I am doing particularly well, actually.
Awesome.
I am. I've had a non-eventful week at work, which is the best kind of week.
Yeah. Well, you had the high point of me and your wife went to go eat lunch with you.
Yes. Yes, you did. You came up.
And Severus Snape gave us foods.
Oh, my God. That poor gay bastard. He did. He looked so much like a Severus Snape's gay nephew or something.
Yeah.
Who's all lispy and stuff. We freaked the hell out of him.
Was it you? I was talking about salty vaginas and you're like...
No, what? you said there was this salty old woman at the...
Buffet.
The salty old woman was at the fucking buffet.
The salad bar.
Being very, very picky about the lettuce she was getting.
Hand-picking lettuce.
Like individual leaves. And he was just standing there trying to get his damn salad, and she just would not come off the greenage.
I eventually had to elbow her out and was like, guys, you know, just to get my, like, onions and, like, the other shit just so I can get the fuck out of that line. Like, what would have taken me 30 seconds to assemble my salad?
Mm-hmm.
I was up there for, I don't know, 4 minutes, 5 minutes?
Yeah, something stupid like that. No, and then we're all back at the table, and I'm just reiterating part of this, and just as the waiter's walking up, I just happen to be saying salty old woman, and he just stops dead in his tracks. He's like, what the hell are these people talking about?
Salty old women.
So I then made it my mission that every time he comes back to be talking about something completely fucked up.
And that's why my nipples are yellow. What?
And that's why, if not for that horse, I would have never got through college.
Yeah. Oh, that poor man. Yeah. Manvite. Hey, there's that heat glove.
Oh, you found your heat glove.
Heat glovey thing.
A lot of good it does me now.
Yeah, I know. With my Cthulhu for President sticker or whatever that is.
Cthulhu.
Yep. Oh, I'd vote for Cthulhu better than the people we have running for office, right? Meow.
I don't know. I have something against squids holding political office in this country.
Better than lying jackass.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I think we'd be better off with Vladimir Putin.
Yeah. Putin. What are you doing, Putin?
Vladimir B. Putin.
Yep. Oh, shit. So what do we got coming up today?
Well, coming up on the show today, we're going to be discussing how one Ohio woman's Halloween decorations were just too damn scary for the public. We're going to be discussing five reasons a zombie apocalypse could actually happen.
Yes, indeed.
For the main topic, we are going to be talking about zombie survival or surviving a zombie apocalypse. And we're going to be discussing on our Nutrition Punk. I can't talk this morning. I just lost my ability to read my own handwriting. We're going to be discussing on Nutrition Punk the benefits of putting coconut oil in your coffee.
Indeed.
So, before we get into that, let's just remind everybody how much the Survival Punk Army wants you. We actually have a new subscriber.
No, we don't, actually. I saw the $5 thing. I looked at it, and someone bought a patch. So, if you're interested, I have patches available on the website that you can buy as well. They're $5 free shipping. Free motherfucking shipping!
I still want people to join the Survival Punk
Army. I do, too, because it helps me buy coffee and coconut oil.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly not freeze to death.
Yeah, that's always nice.
Yeah. I got that kerosene heater out of your thing out there, And apparently every part is there except for the container that holds the kerosene.
Oh, that thing?
The reservoir, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't even recognize that thing.
It was in your yard last year, and then I guess your wife or you picked it up and threw it in the camper, and there it has sat since last year.
Yeah, shit happens.
Yeah.
We actually just need to start breaking out the heaters in my house. It's starting to get nipply out there.
Yep.
And in there, because right now all we have in the windows are air conditioners.
And they will not keep you warm.
Yeah, my house was supposed to have central heat and air. The first thing the central heat and air unit did was catch fire.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so now we don't. But anyway, join the Survival Punk Army.
$5 a month. You won't even notice that shit.
And I'm announcing a contest.
Contest.
Be the 1,000th person to join the Survival Punk Army, and you will win an all-encompassing prize package that is just going to get better and better as time goes on. Right now, it starts off with a patch and an autographed picture of the Survival Punks themselves, James and Couch Potato Mike. With each membership, every 10 memberships that we get, I'm adding something else to that prize package. So be the 1,000th member, and you're going to make out like a fucking pirate.
Yeah. We don't know what, though.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a bug out bag.
Yeah, a fully loaded bug out bag. That'll eventually end up in there.
Yeah.
Custom designed by the Survival Punks.
Exactly. I thought about selling those for a while. But anyway, our first news article of the week. Welcome back, Couch Potato Mike. You've been here a few weeks, by the way.
Yeah, I know. We've had quite a few scheduling problems.
I had a drinking game last week. Every time I said, you had to take a shot.
Oh, son of a bitch.
We lost every person that listened to the show and start over.
Oh my god.
There, you're drunk now. This comes from eonline.com.
This Ohio woman's Halloween decorations were so scary and realistic that she had to take them down.
Admittedly, without the pictures, it's not quite as good, but you can go to there'll be a link. Trick or treat. Here's a bloody kid mannequin on a spike. An Ohio woman's Halloween decorations are so bloody, terrifying and realistic that she had to remove them out of fear for her family's safety. Apparently, the vibe in the neighborhood and the reaction she got for the gory decor made her a bit uncomfortable. Vicky Barnett, not my aunt.
Barrett, there's no ends.
Suck my cock. Shut the fuck up.
Hey, you started correcting me after I stopped correcting you, so I'm correcting you again.
I'm changing her name. Vicky Barnett, Barrett. The mother. Mike's a dickhead. The mother behind the gruesome setup didn't understand all the attention her yard was suddenly getting. Considering this is the third year she went all out for Halloween celebration.
Apparently parents thought it was inappropriate to have bloody dummies and bodies dangling from trees in the front yard, mostly because Barrett lives down the street from an elementary school. When we put up the display, I don't think we even considered that there was a school there, she told Fox 2 in Cleveland. I think, as parents, if my kids were going to that school, or if someone in the neighborhood would just teach my children that this is a Halloween display, and I thought other parents would have done the same.
Even though Barrett insisted that she didn't get any direct threats from neighbors, she was worried about her family's safety and her sandy vagina, especially when people started hanging around her yard at night. They were just hanging out.
Hey, she wasn't the one with a sandy vagina. Everybody else has got the sandy vaginas.
She kind of did for worrying about junk. I came down one night a little bit after midnight and happened to see stuff flashing in my front yard. Looked out the window, and my yard was full of people that we didn't know. She recounted.
City officials told Fox 8 that Barrett wasn't breaking any laws, so her original plan was to ignore the weird looks and gossip about the decoration and keep them up. But now she just wants to make sure that her family isn't in danger, so she removed them. As for the next year, Barrett is so sour over the whole ordeal that she says she won't put out any decorations at all for Halloween.
I don't think we even want to do anything. We don't even want to put up a pumpkin or any of what some people would think are typical Halloween decorations, she said. That's not the way we want to express it. I think by us decorating this way, maybe some people think that we should cave. And this is not a caving in thing. This is a safety thing for our family. Do you guys think your decorations are over the line just in the spirit of Halloween season? Those decorations are badass.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, had she gotten complaints or threats or anything?
I don't think she even did. She just had people, like, admiring them.
Yeah, then that's just fucking stupid. You put decorations out so people will fucking admire them. I mean, that's the whole point of decorating your house, is to draw attention to, like, hey, look how creative we got, and look how much we're enjoying the Halloween spirit.
Yeah, I don't understand. I thought I was getting angry reading this article because I thought the city was going to tell her to take them down. The city didn't tell her to take them down.
The cops actually enforced the fact that she could keep them, that she could keep them up. They were fine.
Yeah, and it doesn't even seem like anyone overtly even made threats, nor even told her to do anything with it. She just got freaked out because people were hanging around her yard.
People were noticing the decoration. I mean,
I don't get any of this now.
I guarantee the vast majority, I mean, there might have been a couple of fucking sourpusses out there with sandy vaginas that were exactly. Like, oh, this is too damn much. This is like something out of Saw or something like that.
And her decorations look quite amazing, actually.
Yeah, they really fucking did. I mean, they look like they're off of a horror movie set to an extent. You know, a low budget one, but still.
I mean, still better than a lot of the stuff from the 80s, though.
I mean, this one picture's got a woman crucified upside down.
Yeah, with what Blay syringes stuck in her neck.
Yeah, that is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, just damn. I actually really like these Halloween decorations, and I imagine quite a few of those people in her yard were like, whoa,
yeah.
This chick went to full nine. That is awesome. She has really got this holiday down.
I'm impressed.
Received no complaints, no threats. The cops said, yeah, they're fine.
Yeah.
I guarantee she called the cops herself.
There's people in my yard looking at my decorations.
This is a non-story, dude.
Yeah.
Why the hell did that even come up in the news somehow?
I don't.
Like, this woman puts up really awesome decorations, freaks when people notices them.
Takes them down.
That should have been the fucking name of this article.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah, yeah. I retract my former protest that she had sand in her vagina. No,
she does have sand in her vagina.
She has got the whole goddamn Gobi Desert up there. Yes. That is fucking nuts. Poor chick.
Yep, poor chick. Sandy vagina.
Yep.
Word of the week. Right after Long Pig.
Yeah, Sandy vagina and Long Pig. We should make a drinking game out of this.
That's our names for the day. I'm Sandy Vagina and you're Long Pig.
Yeah, I'll take that, Long Pig.
Let's
do
the
potato
next.
Long Pig.
Yes, and James, Sandy Vagina. Vagina.
Vagina.
Oh, this one comes from crack.com. We may or may not have read this before, but it's a great article, so screw you.
5 scientific reasons a zombie apocalypse could actually happen. Why don't you go ahead and take number 5?
Brain parasites, as seen in Resident Evil 4. What are they? Parasites that turn victims into mindless zombie-like slaves are fairly common in nature. There's one called Toxoplasmosis gondii. That seems to devote its entire existence to being terrifying. This bug infects rats, but can only breed inside the intestines of a cat. This parasite knows it needs to get the rat inside the cat. Yes, we realize this sounds like the beginning of the most fucked up Dr. Seuss poem ever. So, the parasite takes over the rat's freaking brain, and intentionally makes it scurry towards where the cats hang out. The rat is being programmed to get itself eaten, and it doesn't even know. Of course, those are just rats, right? How it can result in zombies? Hey, did we mention that half the human population is infected with Toxoplasmosa and don't know it? Hey, maybe you're one of them. Flip a coin. Also, they have done studies showing that the infected see a change in their personality and have a higher chance of going batshit insane. Chances of this resulting in a homoproxylum. Humans and rats aren't all that different. That's why they use them to test our drugs. All it takes is a more evolved version of Toxoplasmosa. One that could do to us what it does to rats. So imagine it's half the world suddenly had no instinct for self-preservation or rational thought. Even less than they do now, we mean. If you're comforting yourself with the thought that it may take forever and such a parasite to evolve, you are forgetting about all the biological weapon programs around the world. Intentionally weaponizing such bugs? You've got to wonder if lab workers don't carry about their work under the unwritten command of Toxoplasmosis gondii, already in their brains. You don't want to sleep at night, that is. Number 4.
Number 4. Neurotoxins, as seen in the movie The Serpent and the Rainbow, the upcoming Resident Evil 5 video game.
It's not upcoming anymore. It's in the past.
Yes.
What are they? There are certain kinds of poisons that slow down your bodily functions to the point that you'll be considered dead. Even to a doctor, okay, maybe not to a good doctor. The poison from fugu, Japanese blowfish, can do this. The victims can then be brought back under the effects of a drug like Datura stramonium, or other chemicals called alkaloids, that leave them in a trance-like state with no memory but still able to perform simple tasks like eating, sleeping, moaning, and shambling around with their arms outstretched. How it can result in zombies? Can? How about does? This stuff has happened in Haiti. That's where the word zombie comes from. There are books about it. The most famous ones by Dr. Wade Davis, Passenger Darkness and the Serpent of the Rainbow. Yes, the movie The Serpent and the Rainbow was based on this guy's actual science stuff. How much of it was fact? Well, there was one scene where they strapped the guy naked to a chair and drove a huge spike through his balls. We're hoping that part wasn't true.
I hope so.
What is definitely true about the story is Clervius Narcisse. He was a Haitian guy who was declared dead by two doctors and buried in 1962. They found him wandering around the village 18 years later. It turned out the local voodoo priests had been using naturally occurring chemicals to basically zombify people and putting them to work in their sugar plantations. So the next time you're pouring a little packet of sugar in your coffee, remember that it may have been handled by a zombie at some point. Chances this could cause a zombie apocalypse? On the one hand, it's already fucking happened, so that earns some street cred right off the bat. But even if some evil guys intentionally distribute alkaloid toxins to a population to turn them into shambling mindless horde, there's no way to make these zombies aggressive or cannibalistic. Yet.
Real Rage Virus, as seen in 28 Days Later. What is it? In the movie, it's a virus that turned long pigs into mindless killing machines. In real life, we have a series of brain disorders that do the same thing. They were never contagious, of course. Then mad cow disease came along. It attacks the cow's spinal cord and brain, turning it into a stumbling, mindless attack cow. Dun dun dun. And when humans eat the meat, how can it result in zombies? When mad cow gets into humans, they call it Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Check out the symptoms. Changes in gait. Walking. Hallucinations. Lack of coordination. Muscle twitching. Myoclonic jerks or seizures. Rapidly developing delirium or dementia. Sure, this disease is rare, though maybe not as rare as we think, and the affected aren't known to chase after people and murder mobs. Yet. But it proves widespread brain infections of the rage variety are just a matter of waiting for the right disease to come along. Chances this could cause a zombie apocalypse? If the whole sudden mindless violence idea seems far-fetched, remember that you are just one brain chemical, serotonin, away from turning into mindless killing machines. They've tested it by putting rats in deathmatch-style cages and watching them turn on each other. All it would take is a disease that destroys the brain's ability to absorb that one chemical, and suddenly it's a real world 28 days later. Smoky. So, imagine that an evolved disease, which we'll call Super Mad Cow, or Matter Cow.
I prefer Matter Cow.
Matter Cow. Getting a foothold through the food supplies. Say this disease spreads through blood-on-blood contact or saliva-on-blood contact, now you have a rage-type virus that can be transmitted with a bite. Just like the movie. With one bite, you're suddenly the worst kind of zombie. A fast zombie. IHateYouCrack.com. Load the next page. Why do websites do that? If you split your article into two pages, you're a cunt. True story, bro.
Is there benefits to doing that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, anyway. Number two, neurogenesis, as seen in laboratories around the world. Yeah, they're not even going for movies. This is shit. All right. You know all the controversy out there about stem cell research. Well, the whole thing with stem cells is that they can basically be used to regenerate dead cells, particularly of interest to zombologists like ourselves and neurogenesis, the method in which they can regrow dead brain tissue. You can see where this is going. Oh, shit. Okay. How it can result in zombies? You wanted the undead to make an appearance in this article. Well, here you go, you creepy bastards. Science can pretty much save you from anything but brain death. They can swap out organs, but when the brain turns to mush, you're gone, right? Well, not for long. They're already able to regrow the brains of comatose head trauma patients until they wake up and walk around again. Couple that with a new ability to keep a dead body in a state of suspended animation so that it can be brought back to life later, and soon we'll be able to bring back the dead as long as we get to them quickly enough. That sounds great, right? Well, this lab, dedicated to reanimation research, yes, that's what they call it, explains how the process of reanimating a person creates a problem. It causes the brain to die off from the outside being the cortex, the nice part that makes humans human, that just leaves the part that controls basic motor functions and primitive instincts behind.
Awesome.
You don't need the cortex to survive. All you need is the stem, and you'll be able to mindlessly walk and eat and enjoy Grey's Anatomy. This is how chickens can keep walking around after they've been beheaded, including one case in which a chicken lived for 18 months without a head. I found that story fascinating.
Wow.
It would try to peck around, no head. I mean, they had to feed it with a medicine dropper one day to choke to death.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, particularly big piece of corn, I guess, got stuck. So, you take a brain-dead patient, use these techniques to regrow the brain stem, and you now have a mindless body shambling around. No thoughts and no personality, but nothing but a cloud of base instincts and impulses. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what we like to call a real-life undead fucking zombie. So there. Chances this could cause a zombie apocalypse? Think about it. Under every legal system in the world, all rights and responsibilities are terminated at death. All it takes is someone with resources and a need for mindless workforce of totally obedient slave labor. How long until somebody tries this? We're betting somebody in the world, maybe North Korea, will have a working zombie by Christmas.
Yep. Number one, nanobots, as seen in Michael Crichton's novel Prey, which, by the way, if you've not read it, Prey is a really good book.
And the PS2 game Nanobreaker.
Yeah.
PS2, oh god, this article's old.
Well, no, I mean, you just may not have made another game since then.
Yeah, you got a point.
What are they? Nanobots are a technology that science apparently engineered to make you terrified of the future. We're talking about microscopic, self-replicating robots that can invisibly build or destroy anything. Vast sums of money are being poured into nanotechnology. Sure, at some level, scientists know nanobots will destroy mankind. They just can't resist seeing how it'll happen.
How it can result in zombies.
Scientists have already created a nano-cyborg by fusing tiny silicon chips to a virus. The first thing they found out is these cyborgs can still operate for up to a month after the death of the host.
Holy shit.
Notice how nanoscientists went right for zombification. Even at this early stage, they know where the horror is. I like to know where the horror is. According to studies, within a decade, they'll have nanobots that can crawl inside your brain and set up neural connections to replace damaged ones. That's right. The nanobots will be able to rewire your thoughts. What could possibly go wrong?
Chances this could cause a zombie apocalypse?
Do the math, people! Someday, there will be nanobots in your brain. These nanobots will be programmed to keep you functioning after you die. They can form their own neural pathways, meaning they can use your brain to keep operating your limbs after you've deceased, and, presumably, right up until you rot to pieces in mid-stride. The nanobots will be programmed to self-replicate, and the death of the host will mean the end of the nanobots. To preserve themselves, they'd need to transfer to a new host. Therefore, the last act of the nanobot zombie would be to bite a hole in a healthy victim, letting the nanobot stream in.
Typo.
And for such a widely shared article, this should have been fixed by now. Letting the nanobot stream in and set up camp in the new host. Once in, they can shut down the part of the brain that resists, the cortex, and leave the brain stem intact. They will have added a new member of the unholy army of the undead. Now, it should be more than clear by this point that our goal is to be responsible researchers. We don't want to create panic here. All we're saying is that
on an actual day on the actual calendar in the future, runaway microscopic nanobots will end civilization by flooding the planet with the cannibalistic undead. Science has proven it.
Dun, dun, dun! I hope I've scared the holy living shit out of every one of y'alls.
I still remember that zombie that he shot down in Florida.
Oh my god.
Naked dude eating a homeless guy's face.
Yeah, some of those man-made chemical drugs like that, originally said it was bath salts, and they're like, oh no, the guy was just on marijuana. I've never smoked a marijuana and been like, I'm gonna eat some guy's face off while I'm naked. No, you don't do it.
The part that still sticks in my head
is... You might eat Doritos while half-naked, playing the bongos.
Yeah, sitting in a beanbag chair, most likely.
Yeah, like Matthew McConaughey.
Mm-hmm. But the part that always sticks in my head about it, no pun intended, is that they put two or three bullets in his chest and he kept coming at the cop, and then the cop had to put one in his head and that stopped him.
Yeah. So, Florida's covering up something, obviously.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Florida.
They got a zombie lab down there. Either that or it was a side effect to, like, the new, the new generation of Flintstones chewable vitamins.
Yeah. Speaking about these crazy drugs, and I actually could see, like, a crazy drug like this being used to create the zombie apocalypse. I don't understand why people would do a drug like that. Like, is the high that magical? Like, okay, so I don't know anything about bath salts. I looked it up, and then I forgot about it because I deemed it was stupid. But the Russian drug Crocodile... that makes your skin fall off in patches so you look like a crocodile's scaly skin.
I've never even heard of this shit.
Yeah, apparently people do this drug that literally, like, makes your skin peel and fall off in chunks.
The fuck? No high is worth that.
I'm just what I'm saying. I mean, I've seen, like, the before and after pictures of meth heads, and I'm like, I don't see why you want to be doing meth. But if you take it up an amp and do crocodile where, like, your skin is peeling off your body...
Yeah, crocodile.
Like,
yeah.
Did you ever see the third Crow movie when he gets, like, resurrected and he's peeling stuff off his face?
Yeah.
Like that!
Oh, my God.
Yeah!
Yeah, that's from where his skin all bubbled up and blistered because he rode the lightning in the electric chair. No fucking shit. Yeah, you got crocodile, which makes your skin fall off. Therefore, it's the leprosy drug. You got meth, which makes your teeth rot out and your hair fall out. And makes you fucking...
Look older.
Yeah, you fucking age, prematurely age.
Look at that!
Oh, that's just fucking gross.
Yeah.
I mean, goddamn. I mean, you got all these other drugs that do that. Only thing I've ever seen marijuana do is make people fatter.
I generally just see them being skinny. They eat a lot of, you know, cookies and Doritos, but...
Yeah, they eat a lot of junk food.
You said we.
No, I was trying to say weed. I got screwed up.
Weed.
No, I do not smoke marijuana.
That's not real.
No, that couldn't. I would really hope not.
Crocodile.
No, but I mean, they eat a lot of junk food and they sit around a lot playing video games or just.
And they have the insatiable urge to build stuff. Dennis Leary has stopped doing weed because he's building too many wood projects. He's like, you only have too many freaking like. Clocks and bookshelves, and you're like, I can't afford lumber anymore. Lumber's expensive.
I mean, fuck, Kevin Smith has now made several movies and built a fucking podcasting empire all under the influence of weed because he smokes as soon as he gets up and just goes all the way through bedtime.
Yeah.
And has for several years, ever since Zach and Mary made a Fordo damn near crashed in the box office.
Oh my God. I want to find out if High Times has a podcast, and I want to be a guest star on their podcast talking about weed being... representative for future and liberty.
I believe so.
We'll make fake bong sounds. You do a good bong sound. Do it.
I need a drink to do in order to do it. Yeah, I'll drink a little and then.
I actually had the idea, and I meant to get with Cheryl something about it because I have that voicemail.
How hot is your coffee?
It's cold now.
Yeah, well, let me get there.
You're gonna hate it. There you go.
Hey, that ain't bad, actually.
It's coffee and hot chocolate and stevia and coconut oil.
Yep, there's that aftertaste.
Yep, whatever.
You had me until the stevia.
Yeah, you had me until your stevia.
Hey, look, I gave stevia a fighting chance, all right? Yeah. I just hate aftertaste from artificial sweeteners. Or stevia.
Nothing, which is not an artificial sweetener.
I know, it's a natural sweetener, but it still has that aftertaste. Nothing beats sugar in my book for fucking sweetness.
Yep.
Without an aftertaste.
Well, it's just because you're used to it.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Well.
So I want to talk about some... So first, we're going to talk about survival lessons learned from zombie movies. These are some articles I'll throw in... Novembered. Obviously, I wrote this in October 31st, 2012.
Oh, this is one you wrote.
I have two articles that I wrote. That's... I've written about zombies quite often.
Well, you used to be a member of the zombie squad.
It did. So some of these, I've noticed, you know, from watching lots of zombie movies, and you've watched a lot, you've seen quite a few zombie movies and TV shows and media.
Yeah, and I'm
so you can probably,
addicted to The Walking Dead.
Talk to me about this. I've noticed, you know, you learn some lessons from watching a lot of zombie movies because you watch them fuck up and then you learn from their mistakes.
That's one of the things I love about Zombieland. He's got that running list of rules that he makes as you go along so he doesn't keep making the same mistakes over
and over again. Yeah. One of the giant glaring things that I've seen out of everyone, make some friends. Make some fucking friends.
Yeah, there's safety in numbers. That's not just a passe old saying. It's true.
Rule number one in my book, make friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you lone wolf survival, in any case, and especially when coupled with zombie survivalism, dumb. It's not going
to
work.
Yeah, you need somebody to watch your back, literally. You can't see behind yourself unless you're walking around with mirrors constantly.
Exactly. What is he talking... Oh, yeah. Talking to volleyballs is not all it's cracked up to be. No, I'd rather have a group of friends to enjoy the apocalypse with.
Yeah, you don't want to embrace the insanity.
Yes.
That volleyball's not going to save your fucking life.
Yes. Another rule I learned was get it now. I've seen so many people in zombie movies get killed because they're like, oh, we need to go make a trip to town to do a raid to get this, that, or the other. You know, that's probably a bad idea. That's why you should be a prepper now.
Yeah.
Run the town because you need antibiotics, Twinkies, or Pop-Tarts to get you killed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's one thing people keep forgetting about the prepper is the first three letters, pre.
Yes.
That means before.
Preparing.
Yes. You want to get all that ready before. You want to have all your stuff there when you don't need it, so it will still be there when you do.
Yeah. The next lesson I learned.
So many people get killed on those trips.
I know, yeah.
The Walking Dead, too. I mean, like, there's like fucking... This is written, there's Carl and there's Carol. There's like five original cast members still there. And so many people got killed on those fucking supply trips.
Yeah, supply trips are bad. Don't do that. I'm sure this won't come as a shock to any of you, hopefully. But it did come to a shock to me when I first became a prepper. Oh, God, like... Several years ago, shooting ain't easy. Mm-mm. And every single zombie movie you've ever seen, the person that's never shot a gun their entire life during the zombie apocalypse will pick it up and be able to ping any zombie from any distance.
Yeah, all of a sudden everyone is fucking Rambo or a fucking Navy SEAL sniper.
Not gonna happen.
No, it's fucking not. First off, if you've never shot a gun before, you're not gonna know how to handle one properly.
Right.
I mean, hell, you might not have even loaded the goddamn thing correctly.
Right.
Your safety might still be on if you have a gun with the safety on.
And, second, hitting something.
Right, yeah, hitting something. I mean, aiming. When you have never fucking shot a gun before, you're going to go wide. If you hit anything, it'll be pure fucking dumb luck. You need to practice now in a safe environment while you fucking can. Oh, and that's just standing there shooting at a non-moving target. We're talking about...
Under pressure.
Under pressure. Blood pressure's pumping, adrenaline's pumping, moving target, and you're probably moving yourself.
Yeah. I actually remember that the first time I ever shot was in your backyard. We were shooting at stuff, and I don't think I hit much of any damn thing.
Neither one of us did.
Yeah.
I mean, you could pick up a perfectly balanced, perfectly fucking zeroed out weapon that will hit anything you put the crosshairs on. If you've never fired a fucking gun before, you're screwed.
Yep. Screwed.
I mean, hell, it's actually, be surprising to a lot of people out there. You think just fucking lining up sights is one thing? A lot of people don't even know how to do that right.
No.
Especially not some fucking soccer mom who's always been anti-gun, who's now got to face a motherfucking dude who's trying to come eat her kids.
Yeah. Shooting's not easy. Practice now. Practice now. And this goes right along with the have it now, with the get it now.
Mm-hmm.
No place like home. Your home will be secure, will be prepped, will be fairly relatively safe from the zombies.
Right.
What are you doing, Jorn? Are you hawking up a hairball?
Yeah, that's definitely a hairball hawking sound. He's going to hack up a human finger.
Oh, God.
And the podcast has come to a grinding halt.
Yeah. No place like home. Talk about that for a moment. Michael?
This is one of those things that can... This is one of those things that some movies get right and others don't. As much as I like Dawn of the Dead, the original, bugging out to a mall or other retail establishment is fucking dumb. If you plan is to head to Walmart to escape the zombie horde, you're an idiot. That's the wrong you're. You will be walking into a death trap. No, your plan is not unique and will not work.
I should have to talk about that on the podcast sometime. The rumor of bugging out to Walmart.
Oh, yeah, we'll do a whole section on that at some point.
Yeah.
One of the stupidest things I ever read was some idiot on the internet talking about his plan to head to the local army base, take command of the remaining soldiers and supplies, and drive a tank. This guy was not ever in the military, had no tank driving experience, and would be shot on sight. What is a good idea is keeping supplies at home or a prepared location and staying there. It is legally yours, therefore no one's going to shoot you for trespassing.
Yes.
You know you will have things left there. You will not have to make unnecessary trips that will get you killed.
Yes.
This is, how long ago did you write this article?
2012?
Has your grammar and punctuations and stuff gotten better since then?
I didn't even, proof check stuff back there. I was just getting it out.
I was having fun with that.
Yeah? How many articles have you written?
Oh, just that one I wrote on your mother's ass.
Exactly, none. Let's get into my thoughts on how to best survive a zombie apocalypse. What are we in? 36 minutes. That's not bad at all. We're doing good. So thinking about it, community, I think, is the key pillar of surviving any zombie apocalypse. And we talked about that already, making friends. Having a strong, tight-knit community with people of various skills is the way to survive a zombie apocalypse. I mean, you yourself in your bunker with your 100 years of stored bullshit, spam or whatever, you may not get killed in a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Eat spam for 100 years.
Yes, by yourself, lonely, bored, until you kill yourself because you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather be in a community.
Nope.
You're better to fend off people. Humans are social animals.
We're
built to be in a community.
Yeah, and Les Stroud always says, boredom is a very dangerous thing in his fucking survival situation.
Yeah.
It really is. Your worst enemy out there is boredom.
Uh-huh.
I mean, with people around, that alleviates a lot of boredom right there. I mean, hell. When me and you were living in the fucking X-Court.
The X-Court.
What did we do when we got bored? We fucking literally made games up.
Yes.
That we would keep each other entertained with for sometimes hours.
Yes.
I mean, that was actually kind of, I think, probably where the seeds of your survival whole thing came into play.
From being homeless, yeah. I learned a lot of lessons from that. We were actually doing a real podcast.
Mm-hmm. I mean, hell, I mean, we were surviving out there. We were learning tips and tricks and life hacks and stuff.
Yep. A good community. Everyone has different skills. I see a lot of people in survival community make the mistake of trying to know everything.
Yeah, not
we'll be the sniper and the militician and the doctor and the farmer.
Don't try to be Batman.
Yeah, there's a place for a jack of all trades.
Mm-hmm.
But a jack of all trades isn't going to be the greatest farmer and a brain surgeon.
Yeah,
you're not going to do them both. You got to specialize. You can be a general jack of all trades, but you will always be better at something.
Don't ever forget the last half of that. Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yes. Yes. Number two is guns. And I kind of go different than some of this. A lot of people will, you know, to survive a zombie apocalypse, they'll be like, oh, you need to have an AR, you need to have this and that and the other. The penetration power on a .22 long rifle is easily good enough at distance to destroy the brain.
Mm-hmm.
You can get hollow point .22 long rifle bullets that will easily explode. But in most zombie movies I've seen, and we're kind of going fun on this. We're kind of going, you know, true Romero style, walking zombie, destroying the brain,
mm-hmm.
which would be a bullet through the brain, kills a zombie. I choose a .22 long rifle as my preferred zombie survival weapon. They're easy to find, they're cheap, and you can... Okay, so when I wrote this in 2012, you could find .22 long rifle like under a rock. It was everywhere. It still hasn't quite made the recovery where you can find .22 ammo anywhere. With that saying, though, I've got...
I just don't get how...
3,000 rounds or so?
I still don't get how a particular type of ammo can go that scarce. I mean, can't you just make more of it?
I honestly want to blame the manufacturing companies. The supply and demand has become an inverse pyramid. As soon as it hits the stores, people are still snatching it up. But there's... The companies have not ramped up production to meet that need.
Yeah, that's the part that doesn't get me why they don't just... Oh, like, people are grabbing this shit up fucking more than ever. We need to make twice as much, four times as much to meet...
meet
the demand.
Run production, like, day and night.
I mean, fucking slack off production on the ammo that doesn't sell as well. Go with the shit that's selling well. You're going to... it's money-making at its basest fucking level.
Yeah.
If there's a demand, you try to meet that demand with your supply. Yeah. If not, exceed that demand. I mean, Jesus Christ. People are never going to stop wanting ammo. Especially not cheap ammo.
Yeah, and, well, .22 has gone up in price. When I wrote this article...
Well, there's a reason. Because there's not as much of it.
Yeah.
Any fucking item out there, once people start valuing it more, the price is going to go up. Just like fucking gas.
Yeah. Originally, I used to buy it for like $13 a box of 550 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somewhere around $20
'cause
you can find it.
Yeah, because it's more scarce.
Yeah. I've seen people online try to seriously sell bricks of .22 ammo, 550 rounds,
mm-hmm.
for like $60.
So that's fucking
nuts. And I want to reach to the internet and just like punch them in the cock for being dumb sons of bitches.
Make more fucking ammo. Okay, if anybody out there's got a reason why they can't, and I'm talking about a good reason why they can't fucking just make
more of
this.
Not Tin Hat Theory rumor bullshit.
Yeah, no, a legitimate fucking factual reason why they can't fucking make more of this. Please let us know. James@survivalpunk.com. Drop us a fucking email. I'll even mention you on the show, because, it's fucking... It's just that, I'm sorry, I kind of got a little fucking sidetracked there, but it's stupid.
Yeah. So my reasons why .22 long rifle, it's small, it's rarely available, you can get, everyone should have thousands of rounds. How many rounds do you think you need for the apocalypse? Thousands of rounds? I don't know anyone that can afford easily and availably several thousand rounds of 5.56 for your AR. 1,000 rounds would be $500 or so. $250, $500, somewhere in there for like the cheapest stuff. You know, instead of $30. Whatever. And another reason is, we've shot the .22, we've shot it quite often, right?
Mm-hmm. And it is a great fucking training gun, too.
That, too. Yes, it's a great training. But do we always really worry about hearing protection while shooting the .22?
No.
Because it's not that loud.
No, the .22 is not very loud at all. It has little to no kickback.
Yes. And if zombies have any function that works really well, it's hearing.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing they always make a point of in all the fucking movies, TV shows. Sound will attract the hordes.
Yes. So, if you have a gun that makes less sound than another gun, probably a bit safer, right?
Absolutely.
If you fire a subsonic round out of a .22 long rifle, I mean, it's a pop. And you, whatever, it's a BB gun, basically.
And if you're a resourceful person that can make a suppressor that fits a .22, guess what? You've got basically a gun that whispers.
Yeah. So for all those reasons, I think the .22 long rifle is the ultimate zombie survival weapon.
I had to piss some people off just calling a rifle a gun.
What about clips? You gonna call them a clip in your assault rifle?
Yeah, why not? Anything that'll piss off the masses.
So, and the last one I got on here, I'm just interested. What my R's back? Oh yeah, it's back when we had survival gear bags. Those guys are still awesome if they're still around. Food and water. I'm not a fan at all of MREs as your food plan. In the short term, freeze dried foods and canned foods make sense. For longer term, though, you'll be thinking about more sustainable. Perennial crops, seed storage, and animals are your real solution.
Plus, MREs are so fucking expensive to civilians.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, military guys can go and, like, fucking get damn near as many of them as they want, you know, because it's all part of that thing. But
yeah, I mean, as a short-term solution, I think the MREs, I used to have a case.
I've got a few in my bug-out bag.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having them, but if you're planning to survive the zombie apocalypse, MREs, you're wrong. I think that for true long-term survival of a zombie apocalypse, you need to have crops and animals as your main plan.
Oh, yeah. I mean, think about it. That's why they fucking started farming in the first damn place.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't have to go out fucking hunting.
Yeah. Our
ancestors were all survivors.
Yeah.
They were all survivalists.
You know what's easier, though?
What's that?
Going out to your chicken coop, raising the thing in the back, grabbing some eggs, and making some scrambled eggs.
Oh, yeah. See? Right fucking there. That's just taking it. I mean, humans, I mean, you want to make it easier on yourself. You really fucking do. You want to make it easier on yourself. And guess what? We have hit this massive world of magical fucking technology. Why? To make things easier on ourselves.
Yes.
I mean, think about it. Back in the day, if you wanted to walk around and play a fucking video game, look at stuff in the fucking dark, access, you know, like, fucking knowledge and all that shit, guess what? You'd have to be carrying a fucking flashlight, a Game Boy, on your way to the library. Now if you have an iPhone, it's all because humans wanted to make shit easier on themselves.
Yeah. And we want to make zombie survival easy.
So, by not fucking prepping and making things easier on yourself, you're saying to everybody else, I'm better than humans. I'll be dead first, but I'm better than you.
Yeah. So, if you do not have a community, you do not have friends, you do not have your shit prepared,
you're probably Fruit Loop.
You're probably going to get...
Shout out to Fruit Loop.
Yes. So there's, you watch a lot of zombie stuff and mm-hmm. I'm sure that you, it's funny, you know, I've actually been a guest star on a few podcasts that are not our own.
I've been a guest star on like two.
Yes. And the question that comes up a lot is, how did you get into this whole prepping thing? And if you listen to a lot of survival podcasts out there, you get a lot of people on there and they ask, you know, and 90% of the time people are like, well, 9/11 made me start thinking that stuff could go wrong in the world, you know, or this, or the 2008 economic collapse crash that we had. You know, for me, zombies.
Yeah, I've heard other podcasters say that you're the first person that's ever told them that, yeah, you got into survivalists from watching zombie movies.
Yeah, zombie movies are unique in the horror genre as they actually make you think. You mm-hmm. actually think about, what would I do in that situation? You're not just busy yelling and screaming like, no, Todd! He's behind the door! You're like, what would I do if the zombie apocalypse happened? I remember before I even got in survival, we would have those long phone conversations, you know, like, so the zombie apocalypse happened, like, what would you do? Where would you go? You know, the apocalypse is, you know, personally, my favorite is, you know, overnight, a virus wipes out 90% of the Earth's population. And just happenstance, you, me, my friends, and maybe some family members happen to be some of the few that survive.
Oh, so many people have that fantasy now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or even like a pseudo rapture or something. Because you gotta think, in the instance where a virus wiped out people overnight, you'd have like the stand problem where you have dead bodies all over and that breeds disease and disaster, and then you're dealing with rotting, dead, stinky bodies everywhere, which could then, in fact, get you sick, and you would die.
You know, there are theologians out there that have basically taken the whole, you know, the Lord comes back to rapture his flock, and, you know, they get taken up. A lot of, there are some theologians out there that have basically say that this is metaphor for some great plague or something wiping out a giant, like a fourth of the world's population.
Yeah. Yeah. But I really like how zombie movies will make you think. And as any good prepper, you should be thinking.
Oh, yeah.
So, speaking of thinking, do you have anything to add from your years of zombie movie watching TV show expertise?
Honestly, I think we pretty much covered... Oh, there is actually one thing I'd like to add.
Crossbows?
Okay, yeah. A lot of people out there watch The Walking Dead. It being the most popular television show on television for a while, possibly still, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, people have fallen in love with Daryl Dixon, okay? I would like to add crossbows are a shitty fucking weapon to have in a zombie apocalypse. I mean, yes, they are a quiet weapon, but and think they are, about
for
what
the most
he...
part reusable.
Yeah, I mean, they are fucking reusable, but if you've got a horde coming at you, crossbows are not that easy to fucking reload the fucking fly, to recock them. I mean, some of them you actually have to fucking put a foot in and pull the damn thing up.
Yep.
Plus, you have to kind of go get your ammo back.
Yeah.
Which is not something that's easy to do. I mean, yeah, I mean, if you're a good craftsman, you can make more arrows on the fucking fly if you find the right materials. I mean, it showed Daryl on the show making arrows. And it also showed him, like, fucking, he shoots the arrow, he takes out one zombie, then he bashes three more in the head with his crossbow. Crossbows don't take punishment like that very well.
Nope.
You hit something with your crossbow, guess what? You're going to have to re-fucking set that whole thing, readjust it, realign it, all that good stuff, to get it ready to fucking shoot again. What are you staring at?
I just realized we haven't touched Nutrition Punk yet.
No, we haven't. That's coming up next.
Let's do it right now.
Oh, yeah. A couple other things. Shotguns are good for close-up. You get far away, you're just going to piss somebody off with it.
Oh my god, fucking Hot Fuzz last night, they were running around from like several yards shooting shotguns at each other.
I noticed that.
What are you doing there?
Yeah, you're just gonna piss somebody off. So shotguns, like I said, they're good for close up, but they're also louder than hell, which is gonna attract more zombies. And then samurai swords, katana blades, shit like that. I mean, for the Michonne fans out there, I mean, well, shit. It's easy to break a sword, I'm sorry. Especially, and you've gotta keep those damn things sharp.
You know, as a way to fight zombies, not my closing thoughts here, I had this foolproof plan that I invented years ago, where if you made a long hallway with, like, a brick wall or something, you know, long hallway, so tall they can't get through, and it leads through, grating on the ground, that would be an incinerator, but that's not the main reason, that's just to clean out the hallway, basically.
Right.
And in the center of it, so you would have it like in the center leading out in the hallways from it. So you would be like, say, eight hallways leading into the central round spot that would have a magnetic rail gun shoot metal, like, ball bearings.
Oh, shit.
At, you know, rail gun super hypersonic speed at brain level. So essentially, you have you're herding zombies down a hallway that's one person wide, and you can essentially shoot through probably hundreds at once, and then incinerate them, and then go again.
Yeah, you don't want to start with incineration as a first resort, because I've seen on more than one form of medium, a set fire to a zombie, you now have a flaming zombie that's still coming at you. I mean, I've even seen, like, burned out zombies in a pit that are still alive because they didn't get the brainstem.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're talking total instant incineration.
Yeah.
I mean, if you herd zombies on a spaceship and then shoot them into the sun.
Yeah, that might good. Work. Yeah.
Super powerful laser. Anyway.
Nutrition Punk.
Nutrition.
Backed by popular demand.
Okay. All right. For our Nutrition Punk segment, you're going to be discussing the benefits of coconut oil in
coffee. I've been doing a lot of bulletproof coffee, Lisa. So, I know, for the past, a couple years, year or two at least, I've, for a morning fat to stay in ketosis, I've been doing heavy cream in my coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I've switched back almost exclusively to bulletproof coffee, which is...
the coffee that wants to kill you.
Grass-fed butter, if you can get it, unsalted. I usually get salted because I actually like that flavor, but I heard that unsalted grass-fed butter is even better. I'll give it a try on payday. So 1 tablespoon butter, 1 tablespoon coconut oil. So before I've had varying results. Like, one, you want your coffee to be super hot so that you get a good melt of the
coconut oil
and the butter, especially.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard dumb motherfuckers will literally put their coconut oil and their butter in the coffee grinds when they make it. Like, so it gets, you lose everything. No, you want to put it in there.
That's so fucking stupid.
Yeah. And so most people will then pour their coffee with their butter and coconut oil into a blender and blend it to get a true good frothy mix that's mm-hmm. tasty. I've never done that, so I've never got like the true good experience. Like there's usually like an oil layer floating on top for me.
Mm-hmm.
Until the way I started doing it now. And I mix my coffee in a mason jar because I started drinking out of a mason jar. I just put the fucking lid on it and shake the fuck out of it.
Well, there you go.
And then I get a frothy, you know, good, delicious mixture.
That actually wasn't bad, except for the stevia.
Yeah, which, you know, you're well, just anti-vagina.
God damn it, would you stop saying that? Motherfucker's been driving me crazy.
From iZombie.
Yeah, from iZombie, because she took, for like a fucking week now, because she told somebody to get the sand out of their vagina.
Get the sand out of your vagina, flatfoot.
Oh my god, you're driving me nuts with that dude.
Oh, you're driving me nuts.
You're driving me cray-cray.
Oh my god.
Cray-cray's now an acceptable substitute for fucking sand in your vagina.
So, you actually get some cognitive boost performance from using the coconut oil in your coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So, you combine... coffee is actually the largest number one antioxidant that people use throughout the world, and especially in America.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that. And, you know, you get the cognitive boost from the caffeine.
Right.
So I've started doing that, you know, with the coconut oil. And one cup, I'm pretty good. Like, my mind is going pretty good. The other night before work, I managed to polish off 2 cups of bulletproof coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And my brain was racing all night. I'm like, I think I could literally figure out, like, everything in the universe. I was like, God, why do I have to be at work tonight? Because I think at home I could be, like, doing so much work, like website production and then, you know, prepping for podcasts and all this stuff. You know, like, have you ever, like, randomly just had, like, super fast brain where you're like,
God, yeah, that's happened to me on more than one occasion.
Yeah, so I like to determine what causes that and then try to replicate it. This is my 3rd cup today.
Damn, dude.
Of, bulletproof. That one's half bulletproof coffee, half bulletproof cacao, because it's cocoa.
Cacao!
But yeah, you definitely, I mean, if you generally have some brain fog, and I've had people like, I wrote on Facebook, the Survival Punk Facebook fan, talking about, you know, putting, butter and stuff in my coffee. And people are like, you're fucking crazy! You can't put butter in your coffee! And I'm like, why not? Cause it's crazy! I'm sorry, you're a dumb fuck. But it works for me. Unless I can get the limitless pill. Become a super genius. I've got something coming in the mail, actually, that I got. It was like a free trial or something. They're like, whatever it was. It's like brain octane or brain boost or super brain fuel or something.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, hey, put in your shipping info and we'll ship you a bottle for free. So whenever it shows up, we'll take that for the podcast and then record the podcast on like brain fuel.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And then we'll see if the show is more entertaining. But I mean, as it is now, this is already... the most electrifying survival podcast on the interwebs.
Or something like that.
If you're ready to rumble.
Oh, did you want to announce that that list?
There's a list?
The list.
Oh.
You made it on the list.
Where is this email at? It is Happy Prepper
What? Okay, so there's some list, the top 250 list of prepper homesteading websites on the internet. And I'm trying to pull it up to see where it's at and what's
in your email.
I'm trying. Inbox. What's this guy's name? James something or the other.
There's a lot of those.
You like this? Nope. Nope. Where is it?
Oh, God. Please don't tell me you deleted it.
Nope. Oh, of course not. James Pillow. Read. Heads up about Survival Punk. Happy to Survive magazines. Best prepper websites. Out of this list of the best prepper websites, we came in at what number?
117.
Which means we are better than, like, quite a few people.
Yeah. Let's see. 250 minus 117, that is 150 minus 17, that is 33. So we're better than 133 other websites that made the list. That's not including websites that didn't make the list. So, I mean, think about it. We're the 117th best prepper website on the internet.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking, I mean, on a list of 250, we came in the top half.
Yeah, so and suck it.
Yeah, and it's up to you guys out there to fucking push us further down that list.
Yeah. There's actually this thing I have on the website where you can vote for me to be the top prepper websites, actually.
Vote for me, top prepper websites.
And I have no idea where I rank because I just have it up there and I don't really...
I've voted. Why haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah,
I can't believe I just pointed at the computer.
Nobody site of the that. Moment. Where do we come in at? This one's more random. I don't really push it. I should actually search for punk, not survival. One of two locations. Number 59 on this list. Mm-hmm. Oh, good. 59. Wow.
We're right below Preppers Illustrated, but right above Totally Homestead.
And this list goes up to...
175.
154.
Oh, wait, the others are just add your site.
Yeah, so out of 154, we're 59.
Yeah, we're damn near in the top third.
Hells yeah! So that's on the website. You go to survivalpunk.com, click the vote for me thing, and then we'll fucking vote for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can put me above these other people. What's number one? Number one's usually a link dump site that's crap.
Let me see.
Doom and Bloom's good. We've been on there.
9, 5, 2, 1...
Prepping for Shit Hits the Fan, SHTF. They're crap. Backdoor Survival's real. We've talked about them before. ShitHitTheFanPlans.com is crap. I think Prepper website is crap.
Why are you calling them crap? I mean, is that...
They're
not real?
Well, Shit Hit the Fan Plan is usually like crazy tinfoil hat bullshit.
Oh, God.
And then Prepping for Shit Hit the Fan might be... It might be like one of those things where they don't actually produce content, but there are links to other stuff. I've seen that. That's neat.
Is a hammock a viable option?
Oh, yeah. Maybe this is real. If you carry blah, blah, blah. A hammock is a viable option. Suck it. So maybe. I don't know what your thoughts are, but... So vote for us. Join the Survival Punk Army. Do all that good stuff on that bombshell.
It is time for us to end. So for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
And this is James Sickwin Burnett Winchestery. Doodah.
Have a happy Halloween, all you long pigs.
DIY to stake motherfucking zombies and vampires, bitches.
You don't stank zombies, use guys.
You can with a wooden stick through the brain hole.
Use guys.
Like a long pig.
Long pig, use guys.